Jake Memo, Warrington back on top of Super League. That was quite the performance.
It was. Pretty tough for a good part of it, but I think we've been playing really well and we stuck in there and we got it.
Yeah, it did look tough. What was the most challenging aspect out there tonight?
I don't know. They're a pretty tough side. They're quite aggressive. They were a fair few ice scrapes on me there, so I had a chat to the ref there and he sorted me out with a couple of those high tackles, gave me a penalty, which is... Tell you what, I'm thinking of maybe retiring early because I'm just getting hit in the head so often. It's because I'm quite small, but just the refs want to watch that. That'd be nice, yeah.
Okay, message to the refs there. Let's talk about your coach. His message ahead of kickoff was run hard, tackle hard, kick well, and you did that.
Yeah, we did that. And I had a chat with Blake before the match, actually, and there's been a couple of games lately when I think they've just given him man of the match because it's obviously big star Blake Austin, but he said... If he got it tonight, he was going to pass it on to me, but I just sent him back into the sheds early, so it was all right.
Barry McDermott chose tonight, so...
I'll have a word with him then.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, you've been given an opportunity this year, and you've really taken it. Talk to us about how your game's evolved this year.
Oh, so, again, me and Blake have been chatting a lot lately. I've really matured. I turned 26 a few months ago, and since then, I think I've a lot calmer head. As you saw tonight, there was a couple of times I could have lost my shit a bit, but I kept it together, so...
Well,
yeah.
We can't swear.
Sorry, accidental. I'm just...
Accidental.
I'm chuffed.
Yeah, well, go and celebrate.
We'll do.
We'll see you again on Tuesday.
See you there.
See you later, Jake.
Coming up on the podcast, why I make it 9 wins on the trot as the Dragons are slayed at the Halliwell Jones, topped off by an interview spread of Marmomite proportions. There's an outbreak of caveatitis as Daniel gives his Wolves starting 13 for 2021. We predict not one, but two Salford games, not forgetting statistics, news at Bevan and tacklebacks. And on Rimmer's Lot, never mind who shot JR, it's who shot RR. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
You want fluffing now?
Yeah, go on then. What's fluffing?
What do you mean, what's fluffing? Have a bit of a sip of your coffee, yeah. Shuffle your underpants.
Oh,
come on.
I've got no underpants on. Hello, I'm Rob London, and with Wire returning to the Halliwell Jones, there's no place like home. So talking of which, where are my two homo podcasting sapiens? Firstly, he's a primate whose family dates back as far as time itself. Some say his ancestors' caves drawings carbon date back to 2000 BC, not show etchings of wild boar, but more complex diagrams of statistics of just how many metres Chris Hill made back then in comparison to the penalties he gives away now. Before the man invented fire himself, yes, it's Sam, Captain Caveman Sankey.
Hello, Rob. Yes, I think I'm more the missing link, really,
than
Captain Caveman. Although I did enjoy that cartoon when it was on.
I always thought the missing link was Billy McGinty. If I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Could have been, yeah. Or John Thursfield, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And from a man that still lives in a cave and probably owns more than one or two Nick Cave albums, yes, there's no doubt he's the bad seed of the podcast, but we all want to still give him a big hug. It's Dennis, Into My Arms, Waywell.
You all right?
I'm not so bad. Are you a Nick Cave fan, Dennis? That would sort of fit in your genre. Oh, it doesn't fit in your genre. It's very, very niche, isn't it, your genre of music? Very niche.
I had to go and watch Nick Cave. I'd be careful what I say.
Nick Cave?
Him as well. And he was doing that basically like a show where he was almost like some kind of priest, like helping out his audience and things like that. It was awful. But looking forward to the podcast today. Lots to talk about, so that's good. Had a bit of an incident in the village this week. Somebody stole some jam.
Was it you? You usually do the stealing.
No. Actually, the farmers are out all night tonight cutting the corn, so I won't be having any of that either. But apparently, it's been the phone the police about it. That's how serious it gets in this village.
Well, let's get out of this jam by moving on to the game. Wire versus Catalans. The Wire team was Ashton, Mamo, King, Gelling, Charnley, Austin, Ratchford, Hill, Daryl Clark, Cooper, Curry Hughes, and Jason Clark at 13. Interchange bench was Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Philbin, Davis, and the competition winner and mascot for the day, Danny Walker. The final score was Warrington 30, Catalans 16. Attendance was zero, and a post-match interview never to forget. So with Catalans' flight delayed, here's the highlights with liftoff for Warrington as they reach for the skies to make it 9 wins on the trot.
Mesdames, Messieurs, le disc jockey Zach est de retour.
No way through for Ashton. Cooper flings the ball back and Widdop is there. Here is Austin putting the step on. He's got away from a couple of defenders. Magnificent run from Blake Austin. Back on the inside. Wonderful pass. Jake Marlow, he manages to find an offload. Gelling is there. This could be a sensational Warrington try. Inside 7 minutes. Gelling puts the ball down. Drinkwater, Maloney, Joel Tompkins, Sam Tompkins, bullet pass, Tom Davis, bullet try.
Mesdames, Messieurs, le disc jockey Zach est de retour.
Sam Tompkins, Lange, has Samisoni Lange rumbled over? I think he has, and Catalan do strike 8 minutes before the break. Widdop still going. Brilliant kick. What's the chase like? Ashton is there. Matty Ashton under the post. Can Warrington strike back before the break? You bet they can. This is Davis now. Matt Davis. He's over the line. Has he got the ball down?
He's got it, Ben.
Brilliant from Matt Davis, and Warrington do strike early second half. Austin, then Murdoch Masilla back on the inside. Ashton is there, they've broken the line. Austin on hand, and Austin supplies the finish. Electric hands from the Warrington Wolves. It's two tries in the second half, and all smiles for Blake Austin. Last one coming up for Catalan. So Maloney gives it to Drinkwater. Space for Sam Tompkins. Whitley, Lange. He's got a man on the outside. And Fuad Yaha is in for the Dragons.
Yeah, there's a collision, isn't there, in the background. Matty Ashton looking to support the ball carrier.
Well, the hit's going for his pocket. And here's a yellow card for James Maloney. Short ball, Walker. Hughes can't get over, gives it back to Danny Walker, and Warrington do go in. Maloney in the sin bin, and Danny Walker strikes for Warrington within 60 seconds. The hooter goes. Steve Price has got his 9th straight win. And he knows that the Wolves are going back on top of the pile.
Well, I mean, we always sort of go into this, Sam, by saying, you know, what was it like in those first few minutes before the score? The first score came very early. My sort of thought about this going into the game was that we were going to win because Catalan had spent about, you know, planes, trains and automobiles to get to the game. It wasn't good preparation for them.
No, it wasn't. I tend to agree with you. I was, when I heard what had gone on during the day, I was extremely confident. I was already confident, but I was extremely confident, even though there's no crowd. We're playing at home, and they've taken probably 12 hours to get to the stadium.
Mm. We say no crowd, but, I mean, how many stewards do you need at a game of rugby league? Have you noticed? I bet we don't have that normal, that many stewards. There's 14,000 people in there. Hi-vis jacket, that's all you need, Dennis, and you'll be straight back in there, mate.
I should get one.
Fourth minute, Austin makes a great break, finds the supporting Mama, who manages to pass the ball as he's falling to the floor to Gelling. Gelling uses his strength to twist in the tackle, and he's over. Widdop takes over the goal-kicking from an absent Ratchford, and we're 6-0. Absolutely beautiful try, Dennis, that first one, wasn't it, mate?
Yes. I can't remember it
Go on, Owen. It was Widdop to Cooper. Cooper then offloaded back to Widdop. Widdop gave it to Austin. He made a good break. And then Mamo tracking on the inside. Mamo was screaming at him for about 20 metres, wasn't he?
You know what I love about that try is, and I think there's a big difference between Mamo and Lynham. I don't think Lynham goes poaching for that try. Mamo comes from virtually the left wing.
Yes.
You know, yes, having watched it and then sort of thinking about it the next day, I thought, why was Mamo over on the right? And then you watch it and he's tracking all the way across the field.
Well, I did think his elbow was down, actually. I have to say, when they slowed it down, I thought his elbow touched the ground there as he was passing it. But
was there momentum? I mean, does momentum count if you... I guess he had to throw the arm up, didn't he? He had to throw the arm up, didn't he?
No idea.
Beautiful to see.
It was a great break. Great support from Mamo. And Gelling was on the spot again.
And I tell you what,
been for the last few weeks,
the more and more I see of Anthony Gelling, he's hard to bring down in a tackle. I know he had a few moments, a few head explosions during the game, but close to the line, he's the guy you want to have that ball thrown to. Doesn't half have some power in his upper body.
We've spoke about it for several weeks about the, maybe not the best description, but his strength is his strength. Hmm. You know, he is strong.
Yeah. A bit of a void then in the scoring, sort of went back and two for a little bit. So we won't move on to the next try just yet, but maybe talk a little bit about the size of Catalans. Boy, they're a big team in those centres. They've got big centres, but they're really dirty as well. I mean, you go through the team, the two Tompkinses. I'm pretty sure that Joel Tompkins is the thickest man in rugby league. He's just absolute. I mean, have you seen the video of him in the, you know, the incident in the bar in Wigan? You can see where it came from, can't you? He's just a thug.
Well, for me, they're niggly, them two. But for me, the biggest thug is McLaurin, the hooker. You know. All ex-Wigan, of course.
Yeah.
I think when you look at that, the first, that big gap that you're describing, though, I think I said to you it's a bit Tony Smith-esque in terms of, you know, don't worry about the scoreboard, just concentrate on possession, wear them down. And like you say, Catalan are a big side. So, like, you know, wearing them down, taking that energy away is advantageous. I think that's how Tony Smith used to play his sort of game, I think.
I was a bit surprised. So on, I think it was about 15 or 16 minutes, we didn't take the 2 points to go 8-0. I understood why we ran it, but that was probably the weakest set we'd ran then after we got that after we got that penalty just right in front of the post.
I'm all for sort of running the ball, Sam, but I think you're right, mate. I think that would have given us that 2-score lead, wouldn't it? Just calmed everything down a little bit, especially against the Catalan side that haven't really... Oh, stop shaking your head, Dennis. Come on.
South of the river. No, I mean, it's too early in the game to be kicking for 2 points. You know what I mean? You're not going to win it by 2 points, are you? You know, you need just to sort of like crack on.
It was just the fact that it was right in front of the post, Dennis, that's all. Yeah. If you're in a grand final, you're taking 2 points, sir.
Yeah, but we're not in a grand finals.
20th minute, huge bomb by Austin, and Catalans let the ball bounce. I think it's Darryl Clark who kicks the ball through, and Chris Hill, who's coming back onto the field from a toilet break, finds himself very close to the line and nearly scores. Were you surprised, Dennis, when all of a sudden Chris Hill picked that ball up?
I wasn't so much surprised about him picking it up, but I think twice in the match, and this was one of them, is that when he did have the ball, he then fell over himself. Before he could do anything else with it. So it's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
The run in the second half, I said I thought that was a metaphor for Chris Hill's career, really, at Warrington. It started really well, and in the end it was like, oh dear, he sort of fell over his own heels, didn't he, and was injured on the floor. I think you said, Dennis, that your partner said it reminded her of when she gets pissed, that run in the second.
Absolutely. And I could really see the correlation between Chris Hill and my Mrs. Waywell, when she's had a few drinks, much the same.
25th minute, Catalan's pressure tells with Tom Davis cruising over in the right corner. James Maloney nails one from the touchline and we're all square at 6-all. My one sort of criticism of Toby King during the game was, Sam, that I think he didn't want to take on Folau in that play. He came across to the right when the guy on the inside of Folau was easily covered, and it left Mamo to come across onto Folau, and it made the made that overlap.
I didn't really read it that way. I thought Sam Tompkins made the extra man very well from an offload from his brother. I thought overall, given, all right, we said last week Flau is not a very nice person, or at least we don't agree with his beliefs. But as is, but as a rugby player, he is a mountain of a player, isn't he? And I thought King did pretty well all game to cope with him.
I thought he did brilliantly. And I don't want to stop Folau 2 metres from the line, but I just thought that was the one time, reminding me a little bit when Kevin Penny used to hug next to Matt King. I thought Folau...
Another King.
Yeah, I thought King should have really gone Folau. Also, huge credit to Gareth Widdop, who I thought did a brilliant job on Folau all night. The amount of times he brought him down on that left edge was absolutely superb.
What you're saying is Mamo might have been on his wing to stop Davis if King had been a bit further over towards the wing.
Yeah, I don't think there was much of an overlap. I was watching it back in slow motion. We've got three players on the guy inside Folau. King doesn't need to come across. I think King just looked at Folau and went, I'm not fancying that, to be fair. 33rd minute, Catalans are in again, this time going to their left edge for Lange to force his way over. Maloney converts and Catalans are 12-6 up. This is sort of talking about Catalans now and just how much size they have. Also on that left edge as well, big centres on both sides, Dennis.
They are, aren't they? And it makes you think that, you know, when we've got Inglis, who's next year going to be a similar size, it's going to be quite advantageous to us. But, you know, this is where the game is changing. Catalan are a big side, but do they suffer from having these big blokes on the park? I think they do.
I think Catalans are a little bit of a dad's army side. As much as they've got a lot of size, I think they've got a few too many people in key positions who are over the hill. I mean, I wouldn't swap Tompkins in a million years for Ashton. Ashton's a better fullback than Tompkins now. I know Tompkins uses his brain and comes into the line, but he's lost his pace. You've got McAlorim at 9, who's well over the hill. We've got Maloney, who couldn't get a contract in the NRL and ended up at Catalans. I think they've just got a little bit too long in the tooth in key positions, Catalans. If they brought a bit of youth around that size of a team, I think they'd be very hard to stop.
Yeah, you just feel they're just missing a couple. Just two X factor players, as opposed. Maybe
X
that's
factor.
The wrong word. Maybe that would be the wrong
X
word.
Factor?
Just two sparks.
Come on,
of energy,
Sam.
Really,
oh, for fuck's sake. Come on.
We really are struggling, aren't we? It is actually late on a Sunday, and Sam's decided he's still going to drink and see the weekend through.
That's the last of the bottle of Merlot. So if we have a break at half time, I'll have to get a brandy.
Oh, dear. 38th minute, Mamo runs from acting halfback. It's a quick 1-2 with Toby King before Mamo passes to Widdop. Widdop darts through a gap and cleverly, with his left foot, kicks back inside towards the sticks. A foot race sees Ashton get there to cruise under the post, and we go in at 12-all following Widdop's conversion. I sent you the GIF, boys. The X Factor, Ashton again. I think this moment in the game changed the game for the third week on the trot. Without Ashton on the field, we don't win. Absolutely blinding fullback. And I'll go as far as saying that he is our best find of a rugby league player for the past 10 years, probably since Chris Hill.
Yeah, I think maybe I nail my colours to the mast last couple of weeks, haven't I? I've got nothing but good things to say about this lad, but I think next year is his big year. Everything we get this year is a bonus. I actually think that Widdop was the main instigator of that and showed his rugby brain. And I did actually wonder whether he was kicking through for Mamo, who was right on his shoulder. And Widdop looked at him and just put the kick through. And I think Mamo would have got there first as well if Ashton hadn't been about. Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that the past couple of weeks, both Mamo and Ashton have been very much together, the ones, the enthusiastic youngsters running through, chasing everything. Mm. And like, you know, every time that they're both there, and I tell you what, they've both got some speed, haven't they, a pair of them?
I'm not sure Jake would like you calling him a youngster. He has matured. He has turned 26.
Yeah, he's 26.
He's got his shit together. Yes. I think is the operative word here. We need to get away from the fact that we think Mamo would get there on this try. We think Mamo would get there on the other try because Ashton keeps getting there because he's got that X factor. And I'm getting to the stage now where I'm getting a little bit annoyed that people are saying it's Ashton's year next year. You've got to embrace life. If you sit on the same bar stool for 50 years, life goes away from you. It's Ashton's time now and embrace it. What a player.
I don't want you to think I'm saying that he shouldn't be in the team. I'm loving watching him. I'm absolutely loving watching him. I'm loving watching him develop. All I feel is that he's still learning. And actually, I've got some examples from that first half where the last couple of weeks when he's been at fullback, he's looked a little bit unsettled under high ball. And immediately, in the third minute, he's under a touch of pressure. He jumps up to take the catch, whereas in the previous 2 weeks, he's had his feet planted. And by jumping up, the Catalan lad hits him, tackled in the air, penalty to Warrington. So he's already learning. I'm delighted to see how he's developing. I just don't want to expect too much from him this year. Don't put too much weight on his shoulders.
I'm with Rob. Soon. I'm a big risk taker. For me now, you've got Ashton playing himself in at number one, and you've got Mamo playing himself in on the wing. And at the end of the day, they're playing like a lot better in those positions than the two people I've just mentioned. So I think you've basically just got to let it flow, let it run, and take advantage of it while they're in a full, you know, rich vein of form.
I've got two mates in Sydney that I hear from occasionally. And this week, I had two texts from a lad who watches Manly every week and a lad who watches Balmain, West, every week, saying, who is that kid at fullback for you? Mm-hmm. Who is that kid? They're already watching him in the NRL. The contracts will come
through. It's exciting.
Yeah, he is brilliant, and he is winning Warrington game after game because he's got that Martin Afar about him where he's on the spot. Please, Mr. Price, don't move him to the wing. The kid is a superstar, an absolute superstar. He's putting bums on seats if the terraces were open right now. And for the first time in years, all I'm seeing is positivity around Warrington fans because they're enjoying the game because we've got an entertainer out there. 46 minute, it's a goal line dropout for Catalans. A great returning run by Philbin gets Wire close to the line. A couple of plays later, and Matty Davis shows determination to beat four Catalans defenders to get the ball over the try line. Widdup slots over an easy conversion, and it's Wire 18-12. Great effort, Sam, don't you think, by Davis? I mean, when he gets his chance, he takes it.
Yeah, he's full of energy as well, isn't he? You don't feel that he leaves anything on the park. He's always 100%. But it was nearly 7 minutes before Catalan touched the ball in that second half. We started that second half outstanding with pressure, forcing the dropout, and they crumbled through with Philbin going straight through a couple of tackles and Davis pushing his way through three players. And I think it was because of the previous build-up of minutes.
Yeah, it's the first time Catalan's just started to look a little bit soft, I thought, when Davis scored that try. Do you think there's less pressure now, Dennis, on the team in the fact that, you know, for the last few years, we've always been a little bit concerned when Wire get close to the, you know, the opponent's try line, that we can't quite score. But all of a sudden, now the fact we're scoring tries from all over the field, we're not focusing on that as much.
No, it's a strange one, but I think it goes back to your point you've just made about defences given. I think it's almost like, right, we've got the defence sorted, that's clear, and now everybody's just focused on, the offence and, you know, every different facet of those six tackles when you're in that sort of red zone. They've got different options all over the park when you think about it, whether it's like, you know, the sizes of Gelling, jumping in the air, Toby King, Gelling. Then you've got like the wingers who can finish in a tight space. And then you've got the step inside from both Widdup and Austin. And then as we get onto the next try, which is typical, all of a sudden we've now got a fullback who keeps popping up at the right place at the right time.
60th minute, Catalans break down their right edge from the resulting play of the ball. They put it through hands right to left for Yaha to score in the left corner. Did I say Yaha then?
I don't know.
That's what he'd be known from now on. Maloney, though, misses the conversion to give Wire still an 8-point lead at 24-16. We sent a text, I think, at this point that this maybe possibly came from the lack of tackling effort of Danny Walker. He got brushed off like a little fly leading up to that try. And I just think out of that 17, he was the weak link, Sam. And I know that maybe Clark can't do the full 80 minutes, but I'm starting to think that maybe, you know, could Jason Clark not go to nine for a little bit? Or I just think there's a better option having a different player on the bench than Danny Walker.
I like what I see from Walker when he's got the ball in hand. For me, he reminds me quite a lot of Brad Dwyer, but I feel he's got a bit more about him than Brad Dwyer, probably 2 extra inches in height, I suppose. He is a backup hooker, and if Darrell Clark, God forbid, got a serious injury, was out for weeks, then yes, I'd feel he was a little bit light. But coming off the bench and hopefully running rings around the opposition when they're already tired, you know, I think he gives an option. But he is a bit on the small side.
I've got one for you. What about putting Det Patton in there?
And then for the next 15 minutes, Sam, why his defence really shows up?
Yes, at the end of the game, you and I passed messages, didn't we, that I felt that this next 15 minutes actually saw us over the line. You said, actually, it was a 30 points that saw us over the line. But in that period, Folau went down the middle and Ashton took him down. Then 70th minute, we had a scramble defence, Mamo and Ashton hold up Drinkwater on the line. Jack Hughes tackled Maloney as he appeared to get through the gap. And Lange was held up in the tackle by Gelling and Charnley and ends up throwing the ball and it goes into touch. All that happened when it was 24-16. And if they score, it's a very difficult 5 or 10 last minutes for us.
They're back in the game. Why did they have so much ball?
There was a lot of mistakes, I think Gelling made a mistake. There's a couple of other things that didn't go our way. Stupid things as well. It's almost as if we switched off. And I think we just gave away possession and also territory then in that period. It was a bit of a nightmare.
Well, it all got a little bit easy for us on the 75th minute. James Maloney throws a swinging arm at Ashton when Ashton doesn't even have the ball and Hicks only dispatches Maloney to the sin bin. He'd thrown a few during the game anyway. I think that swinging arm off the ball is a red. I don't know how on earth that's a yellow.
Dirty bastard. That's all I can say.
You
three were times.
With Maloney all night, were you?
Three times. And I get exactly that point, Rob, is the fact that three times the referee did him for a high tackle and a strike to the head. I don't understand when his card comes out when you hit someone on the head. He did it three times and that was the only time he got it out, when that was with 5 minutes to go.
I've got a possible explanation for it. Have you seen, since we've come back off lockdown, Robert Hicks has got a bit of a beard going. He's not the clean-shaven Hitler youth before. He's a bit more relaxed and a bit more bohemian. So maybe that's why he's only giving him a yellow and not a bit more
free-loving
red card.
He'll get banned for that, won't he? Even the other thing he did, he also complained he wouldn't leave the field. I'd stick an extra week on that straight away. Anyway, it's gone in front of the disciplinary panel, so God help us. We'll see what happens there. 77th minute, with Catalans down to 12 players. Jack Hughes, close to the Catalans line, manages to flick a ball out to Walker. Walker strolls under the sticks unopposed. Widdop makes it 5 from 5. And the final score is Wire 30, the Dragons 16. I think the scoreline possibly doesn't quite tell the full reflection of the game. You've mentioned there, Sam, we had a very difficult 15 minutes.
They didn't lie down, did they, Catalan? They didn't go away.
No.
Just looking at the match stats, one thing that stands out for me, we completed 34 out of 39 sets of possession. So that's 87% we completed at. Mm. And maybe in the end, that just told, just that extra little bit of composure, ball in hand.
Yeah. One thing I have noticed this year is we're getting very few injuries. I know we had a few injuries going into lockdown and, you know, Ashton possibly would have missed most of the season. But seeing very few injuries, we were all a bit worried that, you know, that might sort of start taking its toll on Warrington. Every week, we're pretty much picking from a full team sheet.
Is that because we've had a few people off with this COVID and things, and so you've got a natural rest coming in, you know, between a few weeks or something like that?
Well, we had 7 players or 8 players missing, didn't we, for 2 weeks, exactly as you say, Dennis. And yeah, it's almost like an enforced rotation of the squad.
Can we talk now, Sam, about that beautiful pass by Ben Curry into the stand?
Oh, yeah.
What
was that?
Well, I felt it was because Jake's been speaking to Blake and not to Ben, because if he'd been speaking to Ben, it'd have been flat up with Ben and it'd have been straight down the line to score, obviously.
That was a shit excuse.
Wasn't it? Hey. Sounded like Matt Hancock then, didn't he? Is that his name? Is that your health minister?
He was completely on the different wavelength, wasn't he there?
Oh dear. This week's highlights entwined in the French Danse encore une fois, which translates to once again. Dennis, is there anything you'd like to have a second bash at?
Well, you know, one thing that has always perplexed me is that when I did computer science O-level at school, I did the exam and I got a U, which is unclassified. Now, aside from the fact that I spelt my name right and I explained what Rom and Ram was correctly, I never really understood it. And I never really got my chance to find a career path in computers. So I've obviously changed that in the last few months. It's a bit ironic that I've always been interested in what is known as bash scripting, which is a computer term. It's basically a computer language now used by Linux and Mac OS. So it's been discussed before on the What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast that we need to develop a website. And I was also interested in developing a Super League Rugby League manager game. So I thought, well, I'll dip back into the computer field. So I'm currently in conversation with a very talented software engineer called Tanya Rassier. She's from Chicago. And if you go onto her blog page, you can see, and she puts specifically a few random things that she likes. Now, I think it's important that we collaborate with someone who's got similar sort of like interests as us. So I'll just read a couple of them out. She's interested in books, one called Demon Haunted World. I don't know what it is, but it sounds nice. It sounds quite dark, which I like. Songs by Nick Kamen. She likes that one. I promise myself. She plays games like Age of Empires. I love that, you know, taking over the world and things like that. So she likes that. Here's the best bit. She likes hiking and biking, which is my favourite sort of pastimes. She's travelled across Europe, speaks Spanish, and she can play the accordion. Oh. Absolutely fantastic. Right on our thing. So anyway, I've reached out to her. I've written her a bit of an email. Now, here's the thing. I was speaking to someone in the computer field the other day, and they said, you know, you're going to make sure that you get your talk correctly, your geek talk when you're talking computers. So I tried to sort of jizz it up a bit. So I wrote, hi, Tanya, I'm just reaching out. Hi, Tanya, I'm just getting in touch to see if you could help me with a bit of bashing. We're a hipster podcast looking to branch out. Yes. Yeah, we are. Yeah. Looking to branch out in a bit of gaming, probably open source GitHub. Okay. There you go. Where we'd like to put together a bit of a game based on the sport of rugby league, which you may be familiar with when you came across during your travels to Europe and in the UK. Right. I was wondering if you could help out with my blob. As I've struggled, well, a blob, by the way, is a large binary program. I was wondering if you could get help with my blob, as I've struggled to insert my applet into a goo of late. So an applet is obviously a Java program inserted to a web page, and a GUI is a graphical user interface. So I'm speaking the lingo. It would be great if we could hook up and fuggly this project. Now, fuggly is basically hacker for problem. Let me know if you're available. And here's the bit I noticed, and I think it might be why I haven't got a reply. I meant to say, let me know if you're available for a nibble in a bit. But what I actually put was for a nibble on your bit. And she's not replied as yet. But anyway, I signed it off Wirehead, which is someone who works in hardware. So we'll wait for the reply and maybe I'll get a second bash with Tanya.
Was the Dubai server up and running, Dennis? Did we get anything the commentators?
The only thing I've got what's his name? Daniel Murphy. I've got it written down somewhere. Don't know where. I think he said something about one of the commentators said, that's right. First involvement from Tom Davis. It is in fact Falau. So they've got Tom Davis and Falau mixed up. Quite easily to do. One's a big beefcake of 6'4" and 20 stone, and the other one's a little short ass from probably Wigan.
Man of the match, Sam, I'll come to you first. Now, last week you hit us with a huge caveat here and wouldn't give it to anyone. Who are you giving it to this week?
Oh, just for the interview alone, I'm giving it to the guy that Sky gave it to.
You
I did actually think Austin played very well. I thought Widdop showed some touches of class, but
you're giving it to Jake Mamo. Are you giving it to Mamo as well, Dennis? Are you were?
No, of course.
Oh,
I
really? Mean,
yeah, don't forget, I was the one who was tipping him last week, and I said that he would play himself in and probably take Tom Lynham's place. I think that, you know, he's actually gone further than that. He's almost like our first pick without even thinking about anyone else.
I see. I can't give it to anyone because they all played really well. So I'm going to give it to the team.
Jesus,
give it to the team. What did we make of the interview, lads? I mean, it just got better and better the longer it went on, didn't it? It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, it started pretty badly, but towards the end, Jesus Christ, what an interview. Absolutely superb.
I love it. It's never got to the point where, like, you know, you see these interviews and everything and everybody's more or less switching off. But with this fella, he gets in front of the camera and all of a sudden he just brought a load of joy to the game.
It was Warrington did put a video out of the game. They sort of put one out of the sort of players training, managed to get 1,600 views, which was excellent. Sky also put one out of Jake Mamo, but they clipped it, didn't they? They didn't put any of the swearing in, and half the video, which was shit. They got about 80,000. We actually beat them this week, lads. We went with 82,000 views on our tweet that went through. It got 945 likes. It got 248 retweets with comments and another 100 comments to our website. I thought the best one that came through there was from probably Fraser Kendall, who summed it all up. He said, "That's great. I'd prefer to watch an interview like that 1,000 times more than the standard boring cliche fest we normally get. At least some personality showing through."
Well, I 100% agree with Fraser. I thought that Jake Mamo came across as completely chuffed to bits, to use his word. He said chuffed, completely chuffed that not only performed that way, that he'd also been recognised to do that. And I've enjoyed the interview. Jake Mamo walks off, Steve Price comes in, and I've written it down. Jenna Brooks, his first question to Steve, first words to Steve Price, just talking to Jake, he wasn't happy with the ref's calls. He's not being protected. He's not saying, first off, and now she's got a right to say that because he did mention the rest, but the first thing should have been how upbeat and how delighted Mamo was, how well he'd played and how well the team had played, but she took the easy option to try and stir up a bit of controversy.
That's your best point ever, that, Sam.
Yeah, it is, well done, Sam. Well done.
Yeah,
we were about to turn you off 10 minutes ago because you seemed to be falling asleep, but that was excellent, Sam. So well done.
I've got another point.
So you're calling her a bitch?
No, I'm not calling her a bitch at all. You did that. But I've got another point. What on earth was Deck Patton thinking about with that scarf around his head and his earring in?
It's been a great few weeks if you're a Warrington Wolves fan. After lockdown, going no one unbeaten in all competitions is no mean feat. Incredible individual performances from Matty Ashton, Anthony Gelling, Mike Cooper and Danny Walker in my opinion. Ashton especially, what a signing he's turned out to be. Found our future fullback in the 22-year-old. The whole team that was pulled together, winning games against the likes of Hull FC and Castleford with plenty of our first team unavailable. Steve Price, it seems his favourite word, resilience, has come to fruition with the defence performing out of their skin to keep sides out and to go up the other end and kill teams off. If there's any year we can get over the line in a grand final, it's now. Just a shame we'll have to watch it all on TV.
Young Callum there, who's back with the podcast. We should first of all say congratulations to Callum, who has made it into university to study sports journalism up there in Preston, mate. So we're really looking for you to up your game, Callum, on your sound bites, unlike the one you just sent through. So looking at the table, well, Dennis, you want to sort of bring up a point about cliches.
You took the words right out of my mouth. It must have been on your mind. Maybe it's something you wanted to say yourself, but I'll fill in. Callum, I think what you need to do is think about the subject matter and give some details of your own analysis of it, rather than sort of giving an overview cliche of, oh, it's going to be another one of our year, and aren't we all playing well? A bit like these soft idiots here who are always like saying, oh, it's a team effort, a team effort. Put a bit of like your personality into it, you know, and if you've got any contacts in journalism that would be useful to us, then obviously let us know.
Yeah, excellent. Nine on the trot, Sam. It's looking superb. I will say, I think that out of that nine, eight of them we should have won anyway. Now we're playing at neutral grounds, and you know, only the only one that I really get excited about is the win against Saints last week, but it's still a very good run.
It is. I feel the win against Catalan was also, given the situation with the league table, if it had gone the other way. Everyone else was in the second half of the table. But nine game winning streak, you have to go back to 2014 since we last had a we're better than that when we won 10 in a row in mid-season, but that included two Challenge Cup games against lower league opposition. Mm. So, you know, nine in a row, best performance we've had for at least 6 years. Be interesting to see if we can make it 10.
Mm-hmm. We've got a bit of a gap appearing now, haven't we? Because we've got the first four teams in the league all on 70% or more winning ratio. And then we get that drop down, as you mentioned the other week, Sam. It's not just a case of losing games. You don't gain points anymore. It hits into your percentage. So Catalan's down now to just over 55%. Huddersfield on 50. And then another drop down to, you know, Castleford and Hull at 41% each, who have both played 12 games. So it's going to be harder to start increasing that percentage. I said to Dennis earlier in the week, it's a little bit like a game of pontoon here. If you've got 11 players playing pontoon and you hit about 19, you stick. And I'm almost saying that, you know, once Warrington gets to 15 games, let's just call every game off because we'll have enough percent. The only thing that's going to do, it's going to be harder to get your percentage to go up more than it is for it to go down. So, you know, clearly we're saying what sort of 66% is going to get you in that top four. Let's just stick at 15.
There's another aspect as well. Looking at the bottom, so you've got Hull, Kiara and Wakefield both on 18%. If they've got a game coming up where they play each other, you might as well just call that off because they're not going to gain anything. They're not going to be able to get into the top four, are they? So you might as well just call that off as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's coming down now, Sam. What are we looking at? Are we looking at possibly six teams that have the possibility of getting in?
Yeah, it is 60. Well, mathematically, Castleford and Hull could still get there, but realistically they're not, because they have to rely on teams playing each other and winning and losing in a certain order. But Catalan and Huddersfield could put a run together. You'd fancy Catalan more than Huddersfield, wouldn't you, if one of them's going to put a run together. But still, realistically, three more wins for Warrington or Wigan will take them to 12 wins, and no one's going to catch that. That historically, no one's going to catch them.
The RFL confirms the Challenge Cup will be held at an empty Wembley Stadium, telling the fans not to worry, as the atmosphere will be just like any other year, sitting in Club Wembley. An Oxford University paper disagrees with David Attenborough's extinction claims after 101 different living organisms are discovered on Lee Breslie's face. And Carl Fitzpatrick announces the Halliwell Jones will be carbon neutral by 2022 following its floodlit biogas installation with Professor Steve Broomhead's toilet.
Right, well, there's the headlines. So let's move on to the stories. The RFL has confirmed Wembley will host this year's Challenge Cup final on October the 17th. Ralph Rimmer said, "We are delighted to be able to confirm that the Coral Challenge Cup final in our 125th anniversary year will be played at Wembley. 2020 has been a tough year for all, for obvious reasons, but it's also a special one for the sport of rugby league. And we have therefore remained determined to do everything possible to ensure a day of celebration at Wembley Stadium." Well, I mean, I, you know, it was there in the headlines, wasn't it? I mean, if you're in Club Wembley, it's going to be no different anyway. I mean, why they can't open Club Wembley? I mean, there's always been social distancing in there.
Prior to a couple of weeks ago, it was talk about being a crowd there. We were going to have these test events this week, coming, but it's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen at all, by the looks of it. Not until next season.
Dennis, you'll be happy because you don't like sticking your hand in your pocket, so you won't need to go this year.
Oh, no, don't be like that. I would have loved to have gone this year and seen us beat Wigan in the final, possibly. But it's not going to be. I wondered, actually, though, I probably wouldn't have been able to go because all them sausage dogs over there, they'll get the bloody season ticket holders will be piling in there. I wouldn't get a look in.
Didn't you go last year and find Sam and his family drinking wine on a park bench?
That's correct, yes, yeah.
That is 100% correct. That is factually correct.
Yeah, like a bunch of jippos.
Madam Boyd put a statement out this week, I noticed. Earlier on in the week, it said, I had the most devilish of dreams. I offered up Akawala or Latu. From what we've been told, it seems that both players have been offered to the Salford Red Devils, with them getting the option to take their pick. I mean... I'd be more keen to keep hold of Latu really than Akawala, just on what I've seen. I think I've seen enough of Sitter to know that it's just not working out at Warrington. Too little minutes, not playing enough games.
Mm. He's back this week, isn't he? Is he back? Is he off paternity leave yet?
Yeah, he might wing a game this week. Who knows?
He might wing a game indeed.
Mm. Fans may not be able to return to watch live sporting events in England until the end of March. I think we've sort of touched on this. A meeting on Tuesday, the sports governing bodies, including those from football, rugby, cricket and Formula One and horse racing, were told to prepare for no spectators throughout the winter. Officials from the Department of Culture, Media and Sport told the meeting that the ban on fans will be kept under review. I mean, it's starting to look now that it's even next season, we're not going to be able to sit down and watch the likes of Greg Inglis, Sam.
I have a rumour that if we're not going to have the fans back in the stadium, he's not going to come.
Mm, interesting.
Is that just a rumour, or has it got some substance from a source that you're not going to give us?
I've got a source. You know her very well. She lives in Glastonbury. He wants to play in front of a crowd. And unless the government and Super League let us back in as fans, he's not coming.
It does start to worry also the fact that this year, of course, everyone bought season tickets, not knowing this pandemic was going to happen. And so many fans have not given the money back. But next year, I mean, you know, as a loyal fan like you, Sam, are you buying a season ticket in for next season, knowing that you possibly can't go?
Probably not in advance, no.
That's a worry, isn't it?
It is. It's not that I won't buy a season ticket to Warrington. I think it's more the wider scenario of, can anyone really forecast what's going to be going on in the next 2, 3, 4 months?
Well, I can. I've just thought of this, hot off the press or hot off my tongue, this one. If we're in this situation now and we don't know if we're going to be able to get fans in, why not offer the fans a season ticket to watch all the games on an app so that you can like at least do that? So a pay-per-view on an app, you know what I mean? So start thinking about it now. Start doing something about it now and solve the problem before it actually sort of comes
around. Can I just make a point, Dennis? It's all very well saying, let's do it now. Can I just point out that it's taken over 48 hours for the Betfred Super League to even put the stats up on their website for Warrington. So they're not really that forward planning. to be honest there. Absolutely shocking. Okay, over the past few weeks, he's ventured away from statistics and cradled a sixth sense. But then, when your eyesight's failing, you cannot bend down to touch your toes, you only hear what you want to hear, your taste buds embrace nothing but methylated spirits, and you don't even realise you smell of piss. Perhaps a sixth sense isn't that bad. It's over to...
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
I've got a completely different script to you two.
No.
My script says Dennis's tackle bags, and then
we're in that phone, Sam. We updated all this yesterday. Yes, last night Dennis got all worried about his little bit being too far up the order. He wanted to move back down.
You'll have to cut it all because when we got to Dennis's tackle bags, I was going to say I'll just go and get my laptop with all my stuff on it.
Oh dear, are we stopping that? Right? Okay.
Just give us 1 minute, and then I'll come in as if you've just introduced me.
All right.
You know what, Rob? While he's off the thing, he's an absolutely fucking technophobe, isn't he?
He's fucking shit. I mean, we've moved him into that little room because we can't hear him. I mean, the reason we should say to the listeners now, we've moved Sam into a different room this week. Not because anything to do with his acoustics, although that's what we have actually told him. It's the fact he can't leave the drinks cabinet alone. He's always taking another drink.
There's the drinks cabinet door. I just heard it then.
Yeah.
There's another full glass.
He's coming back. He's coming back in. So we'll just go back to the bankers. Right. Hi, Sam. How you going, mate? Ready to go?
You ready?
Ready? Yeah. Okay. Right.
We'll cut all that bit out.
I think smell of piss is going a bit too far, don't you?
Oh. Yeah.
I've got two things for you this week.
Oh.
Would you like your answer to the question you raised last week about prop forwards first?
Would you
like five drives and a kick to Toby King first?
I can't choose. This is so exciting.
Okay. No. Let's start off with the prop forwards.
I want the prop bit.
We'll build up to Toby.
Last week,
you raised the prospect of was Chris Hill over the hill? And how did he compare to Cooper and Philbin? So what I've done, I've gone back to the start of last season when Philbin was a regular player.
Big week for you.
I've pulled out the stats and looked at exactly what they all bring to the team. Cooper, Hill and Philbin over the last 18 months. Cooper's played 37 matches, Philbin 37 matches, Chris Hill 34.
Ooh.
It would have been 37, I believe, if he hadn't have been banned for 3 games at the start of this season.
He got a few plumbing jobs done though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
To see how they've been
rotated. Cooper, his tackling average is 27 tackles a match. Chris Hill, 27 tackles a match. Philbin, 23. But missed tackles over that period, Cooper, 76, Philbin, 77. Chris Hill, just 27 missed tackles during that period, less than one a match on average. Mm. Where that flips round is Cooper broke 56 tackles, Philbin 53, Chris Hill just 38.
Oh dear. It's really disappointing, isn't it?
But meters made, then again, it all balances nicely. Cooper's only averaging 7.3 meters per carry, Chris Hill 7.5, Philbin 7.6.
Why did you do Chris Hill's is a half? Is it because it's in imperial measurements? Is that old?
Yeah, quite likely. Clean breaks, 8 from Philbin, but only 4 from Hill and only 3 from Cooper.
Mm.
But where the huge difference between the three is, offloads Cooper 78,
oof,
Chris Hill in the same period 30, Philbin just 9.
Different players. And so Philbin's running hard, Cooper's offloading. What's Hill doing?
And Hill's right in between the two of them.
Yeah.
Because you feel that Chris Hill gives a lot of penalties away. In that period, Cooper's give 17 penalties away, Chris Hill just 17 penalties, and Philbin 15. Chris Hill isn't giving penalties away, it's just that Chris Hill as captain is moaning at the referee, so you feel he's involved in the penalty.
The scrum cap and that gormless look doesn't really help him, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. So really, the three players are complementing each other. completely. And I feel we've got three props that drive the team forward, and we're just actually looking for that fourth prop. Chris Hill, maybe just one more year. Yeah, I'll give you that. I did look at Alex Walmsley, though. And if you looked at Alex Walmsley compared to R3, Walmsley's averaging nearly 9 metres for every carry he takes. So he is making significantly more metres.
He just needs to tackle around his legs. He'd make fuck all then.
I'm writing Saints off because I think Saints are too much in love with James Graham. And I think they're a prop down playing James Graham every week.
Mm.
Well, certainly, I think you'd have right at the, from what I've seen since he's come back, I'd rather have Chris Hill than James Graham.
Oh, that's a good call. Should we put that one out there on Twitter? Who would you which would you rather have? Captain Mannering?
I'd have loved James Graham earlier in his career, but right now I'd rather have Chris Hill.
There's a very small window with you, isn't there, Sam? Because like Ashton, you're still waiting for him to mature.
Yeah.
Yet Graham is too old. So
just when Ashton's on his way
28,
out.
Just 28 is that key year.
I'm very much on the Ashton gravy train.
He's getting on the bandwagon now, Dennis, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now he can't help it now, can he? Yeah.
I'm just saying, don't expect too much from the lad, but expect it next year.
All right. Well, I've got a semi now. Are you going to get onto the full
five drives and a kick to Toby King?
Okay.
Rob, you mentioned it earlier when we were talking about scoring from different positions on the pitch, and Dennis, you agreed that we've got lots of different options. This time last year, we'd just gone through losing 10 out of our last 12 games.
Oh dear.
And we were struggling to score, and the only play we seemed to have was to kick high to Toby King from Deck Patton. Didn't we?
Well, just listen to that sentence.
Happy day.
Ah, dear.
Today, I had a bit of time, so I went through every try we've scored this year, including the Toronto game. And now, Toby King's playing on a different side of the pitch, so it's actually five drives and a kick to Anthony Gelling
at the minute.
But I looked at how many tries we've scored came from a high bomb. Mm. We've scored 51 tries this year so far, and only four of them have come from a high kick to the right-hand side, where Gelling scored twice, Ashton scored once, and Lynham have scored once. Mm. Every other try has gone through the hands.
We get it.
So that's 47 tries without the kick to Toby King, and just four with. So we're suddenly a far more
interesting
team to
watch. Do you
want
to repeat that again? We got that one. Okay, yeah. Come on, yeah.
Right, so what we're saying there is that we've now found, because we've got rid of Dick Patton, we've now got other options. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's more or less what I'm saying.
Oh. Are you done, Sam? Is that it? Because I'm going to give you 9 out of 10 this week. I thought that was very good. That was insightful. Beautiful. I've got a little bit because I was still, when you sent this Excel sheet through, mate, I was like, you know what? You could sort of read into it three ways, can't you, in terms of who's our best prop. So the only way I could sort of decipher anything from it was actually to put their names into an anagram calculator to see what I could come up with. I've got the three. The best one I can do for Joe Philbin is job filing. You probably don't like job filing, but that's the best one I could find for Philbin. Biggest cabinet in the world, filing cabinet in the world, is in Burlington, Vermont. It contains 38 drawers. But can I just put a bit of a caveat in? It is not a compactus. I don't want people writing in saying, oh, compactus is a bigger. It's a totally different thing. So.
He's been on his own all week,
Sam.
Just go along with it.
The best one I could get for Chris Hill, and I've used a little bit of an acronym here, is Professor Shit Chiller. Pro Shit Chiller, you can get from Chris Hill. So,
bit harsh.
There is actually, you actually can buy a Pro Shit Chiller online because it stores, basically stores your stool for 24 hours. Otherwise, if you've not got the Pro Shitter to hand, you need to place it in a sealed plastic container, but you can only keep a shit fresh for 24 hours. before the bacteria.
Where are we going with this?
Too much.
No idea.
But the best one I think I've got is for Mike Cooper. He turns out to be Earl Homo Ice Cap, if you put that together.
That's topical.
I typed it into Google. Go instantly to nomadicboys.com. It's the best gate cruises to Antarctica in 2021. So if anyone wants to go along to that, there's an option there. It reads, what used to be a destination only for scientists and explorers, Antarctica is fast becoming a popular tourist destination for gay travellers who wish to plant a rainbow flag in Antarctica. We've rounded up our best gay cruises in Antarctica for the LGBTQ travellers. What's the Q stand for, Sam? What's that? Any idea?
Oh, no.
So we can live out your Elsa fantasy on the world's most remote continent. They've also put a caveat on their website to say that all gay cruises on the website are gay groups joining large expedition trips of non-gay travellers. So anyone's disappointed. Right. Just...
You've been busy this week, Rob.
Last time out, Daniel had the difficult task of naming Super League's best 13. But on current form, it's even harder to pick Wire's best Baker's dozen. So with Warrington splashing out even more dough next season, which players will prove to be the Wolves' best mix? And which players will Daniel want to erase?
Even though there's quite a bit left of 2020 still, attentions for some people are starting to turn to 2021 and some of the transfer business and recruitment that Warrington may need to do to have a good season next year. So with that in mind, here's my starting 13 for the 2021 season. Fullback Stephen Ratchford, on the wings, Matty Ashton and Josh Charnley. I think Charnley and Ratchford are dead certs. However, I'm not certain that Tom Lynam will be kept, given the current ban that he's got. He's a player who misses a lot of games due to discipline issues. In the centres, Toby King will definitely keep his place in the centre. He's had a very good year so far at centre, establishing himself in that position now. And I think this is where Greg Inglis will fit in, the new star signing. A fantastic piece of business from Warrington and very exciting to see how he does, but I think he'll be at centre. The halves, if they both stay, will be Blake Austin and Gareth Widdop, who were starting to form quite a good partnership until Widdop's recent absence. So if Widdop does choose to stay at Warrington for another year, then that's what I think we'll be going with. Mike Cooper is an absolute certainty at prop, had an outstanding season, and Daryl Clark at hooker. I know some NRL clubs probably interested in him. We heard some reports of that not too long ago, but if Warrington can keep hold of him, they've got a chance because Clark is a fantastic player. And then the other prop is probably the hardest one to pick, because even though Chris Hill has been a mainstay of the team for a long time now, it does kind of feel like Warrington perhaps need to move on from Chris Hill. Not necessarily get rid of him, but perhaps look at someone else for a starting prop position. And I think that man should be Joe Philbin. I'm a really big fan of Philbin. We've not seen him start too many games, although he did start in the 19-0 defeat against St Helens. Ben Curry and Jack Hughes in the second row. We know that Ben Murdoch-Masilla is leaving. He's going to play in the NRL. So Curry and Jack Hughes, assuming that Curry signs a new contract, which I hope he does. I think he's had a very, very good season. I think a great asset for Warrington to keep. And then at loose forward, Jason Clark. Loose forward is a bit of an issue for Warrington over the last few years. We've had a lot of different people play there. So I wouldn't be against us going into the market to try and find a new loose forward. But if we don't, Jason Clark, assuming he signs a new contract too, I'd be happy for him to stay at number 13. But 2021, it promises to be an interesting year for Wire, particularly with some of the transfer business that is going on. And I think we'll find out a lot more in the coming weeks and months.
Now, I've got a little bit of a problem here, Dennis, that there's a bit of a pandemic breaking out amongst the podcasters. For 70 episodes, Sam has been struggling with caveatitis, but it seems now it is contagious because so Daniel's soundbite there, which came in at around about 2.5 minutes, originally was 5 minutes long. We had to edit it because he gave a caveat for every single position. It wasn't in his spec what to do, yet it's broken in. I mean, do we need to sort of go into some form of bubble now?
Well, I'll be discussing bubbles when we get to tackle bags, but I think Daniel, yeah, you need to sort of get yourself straight, Daniel. Stop listening to what Sam gives you. A couple of things I'll pick up on. I noticed that he said Ashton on the wing, line him gone. Oh. I agree with you there. Yeah, well done. Interesting, he said the centres would be Tony King and Inglis. So what's happened to Gelling? Where's he gone? Is he expecting him, you know, he's not going to be around after a certain time next year? I like his point on Hill, but he almost says like, oh, we should just keep him. I was thinking, does he mean like stuffing him and putting him in the corner like of the executive suite or something?
This is contagious because this is exactly what Daniel did. He put a caveat in every one. And now you're coming out with caveats.
I'm not.
You're all getting tested. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Everyone's lost their spine. It's just a Caveat Central podcast this time.
You've said caveat about four times up until this point.
I know I have. I can't help it.
Have you got any other comments on Daniel's... Jesus Christ.
It's been alone in the house every day. That's the problem.
Hey, I tell you what, there's never any caveats on Rimmer's Lot.
Unfortunately, it's time now to head over to Rimmer's Lot. I remember when this television channel offered a more highbrow programme. Daddy and I used to love watching shows together, such as Ask the Family or Call My Bluff. But I wouldn't be surprised if this tacky station doesn't come out with a quiz called Ask for My Bluff. And with what they're paying me these days, I can tell you, no one's looking up my Frank Muir.
Stevie, darling, based on your current outstanding work ethics, I'm putting you in charge whilst I just pop out for my leg waxing. Now, you are fully aware of the museum's modus operandi, aren't you, Stevie?
Is that where all the Sheilas and the Puffs with the footy socks down their pants sing songs, Rolfie?
No, Stevie. It means a representation of the mechanics of the operational conditions. Or in your case, bludger time. And don't forget our new motto. It's kicking to Toby King beats talent where versatility and resilience is up the shitter.
No worries, Rolfie. All sweet. Hey, while you're getting your legs done, are you picking up this year's Challenge Cup medals?
Yes, I'll be popping into Poundland. And not to worry, none of the players will even notice the difference unless they bite into them.
Oh, and whilst you're there, Alfie, don't forget we need a helium canister for the interactive Challenge Cup Jonathan Davis commentating droid.
Yes, Stevie, I haven't forgotten. It's such a shame we couldn't get a 2020 software update. We'll have to listen to Jiffy's outdated comments all over again.
Oh, and while I remember, we dead set need new batteries for the Brian Noble cyborg. It was all confused as fuck yesterday. Sounded like it got stuck on a washing machine analogue cycle.
No, Stevie, that's not the batteries. It's functioning perfectly normal. Now hurry up and finish the dusting, Stevie. And if Robert Elston pops in, tell him I'm having lunch and discussing the medals with the Duke of Sussex. We'll be at the Old Ball Public House where we're having a slap-up meal.
Oh, good day, Mr. Elston. How are you going, mate?
Mate? Never mind that boy. There's no surveillance cameras in here, are there?
No, sir. Not unless you count the Eddie Fuller's vintage 35mm Pentax range finder with 200mm full-breast optical zoom. But anyway, that's been boxed up and put in the storeroom. After Ralphie had the film developed in Boots. Gee, who knew? John Bevan was double-jointed.
Talking of which, boy, where's Grimmer?
Oh, now let me get this right, Mr. Elston. He's having sex with the Duke. But he's not to bite at his chocolate medals. No, wait, that's not it. He's having lunch with the Duke whilst a slapper chews on his old balls.
What? What's going on here? Are you recording this conversation, lad?
No, no, Roberto. Not unless you're thinking this Mike Parson's Warren and Guardian dictator phone's turned on. And we wiped the cassette clean of him torturing Steve Anderson.
Oh, Robert, you're here. I thought it was you when I saw the number plate on the car outside. Nob One.
That's Rob One, Grimmer.
Oh, I do apologise, Robert. My eyesight's not what it was. What can we do for you anyway? Have you had the chance to have a look around the exhibits? Can I recommend our 125 years of inspirational characters in Rugby League Waxworks Museum section? Did you know it took over 25,000 litres of melted wax to mould Carrie Schofield?
I've not come here to look around your shitty little museum in this grim Edwardian-designed hotel, Grimmer. It's time we sorted these things out. The game's fucked, and there's only room for one of us in 2021.
How dare you? It's a Victorian-designed hotel with Italian-style architecture coving.
Huh, it looks more like a fucking gothic gargoyle.
Well, that's no way to talk about Stevie.
Yeah, you tell him, Rolfie. Besides, Nate would bowl me a gargoyle into my ghoulies. Ironically, I couldn't get wood for 6 weeks.
Now, listen here, Robert. I'll not have you coming into our establishment talking bollocks to my staff.
Rolfie!
You might get away with it with Betfred and the other team owners.
Rolfie!
But I will not have it in our museum.
Rolfie! He's pointing a gun at you!
If you must know, I'm brandishing a Volks pistol 9mm. Left to me by my great uncle Von Rick Papa John's Himmler. In a slice of his bill. You've shown me up one too many times, Grimmer. You've started to make me look like a laughingstock with your little act of bumbling around whilst outmaneuvering me at every turn.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Move out of the way, you antipodean fuckwit. This bullet has Grimmer's name on it. HAL Super League!
Oh, that smarts. Oh dear, I must sit down, Stevie.
Oh, Rolfie, mate, stay with me, big fella. Don't leave me now, you're gonna be fine. Is there anything I could do?
Steve, I think we're going to have to shut down the museum for an hour.
Shall I call an ambo? A nurse? What about Professor Broomhead? Isn't he a doc? Shall I call him?
Oh, no, Stevie. It is tea time. He'll be tucking into his Lancashire hot pot. I'd hate to disturb him in at this hour.
Oh, gee, Rolfie, you've always been thinking of everybody else. I see now why Rugby League runs through your veins, mate. Look, you've even got blood. It's a golden colour. Actually, why is it that colour, Rolfie?
Oh, don't worry, Stevie. It's just brandy. I think the bullet only penetrated my Duke of Sussex hip flask.
Joining us now in the studio to review Rimmer's Lot is Danny Lee.
Well, last year, Martin Scorsese directed The Irishman running at 3 hours and 30 minutes.
This is already starting well.
And I thought this week's episode was going to be running to a similar time. Do you think our younger listeners will understand who shot JR?
Who did shoot JR?
Christine Shepherd.
The Poison Dwarf?
That wasn't her. No. Christine Shepherd, one of his ex-girlfriends.
Not Sly. Ken Barnes's bloke. Remember that secretary that floated between the two? Was her name Sly? She was JR's secretary, and then she went... Sorry.
I've told you 9 times. It was Christine Shepherd.
You know what? This is just BBC South of the River shite, isn't it? Anyway, well, that's the end of Rimmer's Lot, then. He's been shot, hasn't he? That's it. Gone.
It's a shame.
Are we going to join it with Steve having a shower and walking out and finding it was all a dream?
Oh, well... Let me get my pencil.
Yeah. I'd just like to shout out to all the listeners that if you do want to see Rimmer's Lot back, then you need to obviously send us a text or something on Twitter. And
please, nobody send us a text.
Now, can I also just point out at this point that I'd like to thank a lot of people on Twitter who have very kindly retweet the podcast every week, or they like the podcast. Our demographics show where you are. We know your ISPs. We can see the hundreds and hundreds of people that download this podcast every week. So from next week, we are giving away a prize. It's a prize you don't want to miss out on. If to go into the draw, you need to either retweet the podcast when it comes online, or you need to do whatever you do on Facebook. I'm not sure what you do on Facebook, but any one of those two will put you in the draw for a very special prize, which Dennis is going to hand deliver.
What about Instagram? You can do it on there as well, you know.
Yeah, Twitch.
I'm not hand delivering it. Sam is anyway. He's the local man.
Okay, fair enough.
And time now for the Twitter vote. Is that it? Is that all I have to say? That one line? I have to say more in lockdown letters. This is so insulting.
Well, obviously, we don't know the results of the election yet, but what we do know is that about 4 in 10 of us probably didn't even bother to vote. Pollsters have a name for people like this. They call them morons.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why did Paxman get the big lie? This is utter horseshit.
Right, it's on to the Twitter vote. We put 2 Twitter votes out this week. The first one was, once Warrington games are not broadcast on either Sky or the BBC, as a Wire fan, will you have the opportunity to watch? Staggeringly, nearly 2/3 of you came back to say, well, just under 2/3 came back to say, no, you couldn't watch the games. 59% said no, only 41% said yes. We are missing a huge opportunity here to make some revenue for the sport. And having a very simplistic app that gives you the option, just for maybe £5, to watch a game of rugby league. Why take it away from the fans, Dennis? It's bizarre.
Yeah, we've had a couple of games now, haven't we, where they've been in the afternoon, they've been shown on the Our League app for season ticket holders only, which I get. But, you know, maybe we should just be looking at this and saying, look, if you want to watch the game as a one-off, then, you know, pay a fiver. And then log on. And that's a choice thing then, isn't it? You know what I mean? I might not particularly want to do it, but then, you know, I've got nothing else to do. Then I think, oh yeah, I'll spend a fiver. Or I might even look at it and say, I want to support the sport as a whole and, watch a game sort of thing. That option isn't there. And at a time where we need to generate revenue, it's just another missed opportunity, in my opinion.
Rugby League never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
I listened to that. Very good. I think we should recommend that for people to listen to. It was very interesting, that, wasn't it? This week's 5 Live Rugby League podcast on the history of the game.
Yeah, I wonder if Dave Woods' ex-wife will listen to it.
Interesting.
The second vote was, would you be willing to wear a spacesuit like the bad guys wore in the film E.T. if it meant you could attend the Warrington Games at the Halliwell Jones? Obviously, there'd be a special pipe you could connect to your pint. I think this is the way forward now, going into this sort of apocalypse that's never going to end, that we need to get some kind of spacesuits, Dennis.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much on this because the whole of tackle bags is going to describe this, as we've already been working on this for some time now. But the interesting thing is that, you know, you can see that people are desperate to get back in the grounds. And, you know, it's a very difficult situation, isn't it? But let's be honest, 1,000 people or 2,000 people in a stadium that holds 10,000 people is quite easily to social distance at the end of the day. It's outside. Surely there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why we can't at least do that. So, you know, it's not a risk.
Sam, you've drunk wine on a park bench. You'd be more than happy to suck it up through a pipe, wouldn't you?
No, I'd rather have a glass, to be fair. Crystal, nice glass.
Now, he brought us NAD technology, an idea where an electric current is passed through the player's testicles. Ironically, he's been talking bollocks for over 70 episodes, so why it's taken him this long to connect the two is anyone's guess. So back again with his section soon to be renamed DJS. Yes, Dennis's jockstrap. Strap in, everyone. It's time for...
Tackle Bags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Well, again, shout out to the Gareth here. He nearly lost his bit this week. I had to give him a G up on Twitter. He was getting a bit worried that he couldn't think of anything else. But anyway, collaboratively, we have got something. We'll get into that shortly. But last week, as I've just mentioned, NADS, the Nut Alarm Detection System. Yes, Tackle Bags Technology Theory ventured down to the nether regions to look at this technology aimed at eliminating the squirrel tackle from the game. We devised a system player wearing a special piezoelectric jockstrap to their shorts containing 10 strain gauges around the groin area that, when triggered, would then immediately send a referee a vibration or a screaming pitch sound into his earpiece to... basically register some improper conduct on the pitch. This cracking underwear system, coming in two colours, red and grey, deemed popular by the podcast fans, will be taken to the RFL to introduce this new product introduction. But hold on, Sam, why you just yawned? Do you mind?
Is there any wonder?
Anyway, we will get this designed and developed for the 2025 season. So, everybody was going nuts about this idea. Yes, 34%. This was off Catchamonger. Could I have a pair for my husband and wire them to the sounder in his pants? I'm sick of telling him to stop scratching his ghoulies in public. That's fair enough. 34%. This is off Nut Clear. Whatever that means. No, our rugby league team have been playing in the Cheshire Choir Boys League for 20 years and not once has anybody complained. Our counter-tenor fullback has always asked for a tighter grip. Read into that what you will. Other 2%. This is off Wank Bubble. 0.69 newtons converts to around £3. Which happens to be about the weight of my massive bollocks. Anyway, moving on, this week, with the news that the reintroduction of crowds has been shelved, we thought we'd turn our attention to supporters. In other countries, supporters have been able to return to areas of the grounds where there's been seating, and being able to safely distance themselves. But what about the Halliwell Jones, where we've got two full standing areas? Well, the solution is simple. And here on Tackle Bags, we like to think out of the box, or in this case, out of the bubble. So now the poll has just suggested that everybody wants to get back in. So, you know, that was quite apt. And we've already mentioned about this sort of spacesuit thing. Well, what we've done is we've been looking at this and the changing habits of the, you know, to attend the game in these circumstances. So our uniquely designed bubble suits, based on the ones used in bubble football, like a zorbing thing that goes round the body, will allow fans in standing areas of the match. These suits can be hired at the ground as part of the ticket price and will enable fans to stand in comfort, social distancing themselves from fellow supporters by 2 metres, because they like nice round things. They'll be able to celebrate and enjoy the normal activities in the safety of their own bubble suits.
So the suit, which is called Keep Neutral Orbital Bubble Suit, are designed naturally to create a 2 meter distance between fans. They come in a one-way valve system where they can be loaded up into a void in the suit where 2 pints of beer can be loaded there. A straw inside, or a bigger sort of orifice for Sam, could be then connecting to the fan to allow them to drink conveniently at their leisure. This can be topped up with a localized beer pumping station in the stand. All contactless, of course. Various other functionalities of the suit will allow fans to consume pies, chips, and even a visit to the loo with an integrated modesty sump for number ones only at this stage. Although we are in talks with Professor Broomhead for a 10 kilo dump sump, which will be launched a year after. Anyway, if you think that's a great idea, then write to us at the usual things. Whatever they are, because I don't know what all the social media things are. Parler in the US.
Don't write to Parler. We've got one. We've got one listener on Parler. That's it. Andrew Lowe. That is it. Thanks, Andrew. Keep right. spreading the word, mate.
What do you think, guys? Do you think that's a good idea?
A knob suit.
I think you need to put some branding on the suit. What we are
branding.
Branding.
Oh, you could sell advertising space.
Yeah, you could, couldn't you? Tyres for one. Look like a Michelin tyre, wouldn't it?
That's true. Yeah. I think it's a very good idea, Dennis. It's one of your better ideas compared to the shower
shit.
You
know,
okay, thanks, Gareth. Cheers.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up for Warrington, it's Ménage à Trois, as we get into bed twice with Salford in the space of less than a week. Dennis, Sam, let's say metaphorically the league game is the foreplay, and the cup match is full penetration, can you see the wolf being the dominant sexual partner, or will someone turn out to be a devil between the sheets?
Well, I think Tuesday will be a dud rubber, and then when we get to Saturday, it'll be a full clusterfuck, because there'll be no form will come into it, and it'll just all be out the window when it comes to the Challenge Cup, so...
Certainly looks like we're putting a virgin side out on Tuesday, Sam. But I'm really looking forward to this, I have to say. It's going to be like an A-team game. I mean, look through, I don't know, half of those players on that team sheet. So I think it'll be a brilliant game to watch.
As long as Salford are resting, shall we say, 10 players and it's competitive, it'll be really enjoyable to see these younger lads. Heard about a lot of them. Actually seen very few of them. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, points on the chart, they're about 30%. So they'll be just putting cheerleaders out, won't they,
The trouble is with Salford is, from what I'm told, they've got to put out, you know, the best they can. They don't have the squad to sort of rest 10 players.
They've only got about 24 players available, haven't they? So at the very most... they're only going to rest 7 of the first teamers.
Yeah. I think we might struggle in this game. I mean, I'm just really keen to watch it. So I'm going to sit on the fence in the first game. I just don't know which way it's going to go.
You know, it's either, I'm just going for man of the match at all the team. Now I'm going to sit on the fence. You know what? This is going really vanilla, isn't it, this? Hey, come on. Go for someone.
I love a vanilla ice cream. Nothing wrong with vanilla ice cream. You always know what you're getting with vanilla, don't you? That's the thing. And they've got all these bohemian types now that are really strong.
Well, I'm going for a Neapolitan win by Warrington a Neapolitan set of fringe players.
99 for you, Sam?
No, we'll get beaten Tuesday. We'll get beaten. Not too much, though. I think we'll be probably 10 points, within 10 points of them, but I think we'll get beat Tuesday. Our 9-game winning run will come to an end, but then the Challenge Cup, we will win comfortably. 18-point win.
The thing is, Sam, will you be drinking midweek for the match this week? That's what we all want to know.
I don't usually drink on a Tuesday. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying we're getting beaten on Tuesday, but what I am very keen to see is where he's going to fit Ratchford and Ashton into the team on Saturday. Because I think this is it now. This is the big game. Let's see what kind of balls Price has got. Does he go conservative, get himself a vanilla ice cream, or is he going a Knickerbocker glory and putting Ashton at the back there? That's what I want to know.
Good point, that. How is he going to fit the pair of them in?
Because
Ashton has to play. Ramo will play left wing, won't he?
So you think Ratchford at 13, that's where he's going?
No, he'll be in halves, won't he, with Depp Patton.
Not on Tuesday. He's on about the semi-final.
Dennis, keep up. We've moved away. The ice cream van's left Tuesday.
Oh.
We're on to Saturday.
Before that, it'll be Sitalecki playing right wing on Tuesday.
I'm looking
That'll
forward
be an
to
interesting
that.
One.
Scored his only try in the NRL on the wing for Wests many, many years ago on that right wing. He's got four.
Might be a master stroke. He might give him the ball to run out of defence.
So do you think we'll win the Challenge Cup match then?
Yes.
Yeah, we've both said yes. Yeah, we think we'll. As much as Salford are going to rest players, I watched the Salford game the other week and, you know, they've got
Kevin
some
Brown?
Flat-footed. Well, that's what I mean. Kevin Brown intercepted. Took him about a week to get down the other end. It's ridiculous. So we'll see. Okay, it's lights out on another podcast. You know what to do, you freeloading scum. Tweet to @WhatBevan, email to whatbevan@gmail.com, or if you're completely ignoring social distancing because somewhere in your dipshit little brain you believe the rules don't apply to you, there's always Facebook. So as the Wire set to play twice in the space of 4 days from a man that will never go to space or possibly not even be breathing in 4 days' time, it's an orbital ta-ra from Sam.
All the best.
And from an old lad that in 96 hours goes through only one set of underpants, drinks a bottle of gin and scrumps enough corn from the farmer's field next to his cottage to open his very own grower's market, it's a cob off from Dennis.
This is it.
I'm Rob London. We'll be back here next Monday with a double game Salford review and no doubt arguing amongst ourselves. Or as Dora Bryan said in the film A Taste of Honey,
ah, shut up. We enjoy it.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Oh, you've just lost us another fucking 300 listeners with that shite at the end, haven't you? Hey? That sounded like Ben Thaler.
Not to intervene when it came to you. Well, not to touch a hair in your head. Leave you as you are. If he felt he had to direct you, then direct you into my arms. Into my arms.